Welcome into the Ciroc Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are here till 1 a.m. with you folks, so please chime in. We'll be your therapy session. Vent out with us, 504-260-1870. The Saints falling 33-10 to the Denver Broncos, now 2-5 on the season, a five-game losing skid after opening the season in glorious fashion. Two victories, but it seems like a whole nother year. Cajun Cannon, all in all, just a really rough night in the Superdome, and all around, just really hard to take away any positives.
Well, I don't know. I thought we only played three preseason games. Well, when did we add a fourth preseason game? Didn't it seem like a damn preseason game tonight? Now, you could play prime time in the preseason. You know, we did on Sunday night when we played San Fran. But it seemed like a damn preseason game. Again, that's embarrassing in front of the home crowd. And you play like that and laid an egg. You know, if they could flex the schedule, they'd be like, okay, the Saints got a penalty. They can't be on prime time for a couple of seasons. No, that was not entertaining. That was embarrassing to me. It's just to me, my opinion. But I think I've watched a lot of football, and I can be objective. This is the worst the Saints have looked pre-Katrina. Now, remember what I just said. This before Sean Payton came on board, this kind of, you know, Haslett was like on a roller coaster. I'm not saying, 2005, you know, post-Katrina, that was post-Katrina, we only won three games. But you look when Haslett was on the hot seat, it was kind of like no expectations pre-Katrina. But once you win a Super Bowl, you're going to have expectations. That just comes with the territory. And if you look at it, it's kind of ironic. The last five games, the last time we've had a last five-game losing streak, something that hasn't happened since Sean Payton's last season.
He handed it to us.
Being in charge of the Saints back in 2021. But you know why the fans of Houdat Nation gave Sean Payton the benefit of the doubt? Why? Because he had a lot of skins on the wall. And we won. So we want to be patient. We want to be loving. But then you know what Dennis Allen does not have going for him? He's a losing head coach. Coach Allen, as the Saints coach now, he's 18-23. And I always try and, you know, build him up. Maybe I say, well, he's hovering around 500. He's kind of like a 500-type coach. Well, no, that's not – that's under 500, Bobby. He's 18-23 as the head coach. Yeah, that's not 500. And then, look, that's his baby. We dead last in total defense. I mean, can we stop the run?
No.
As of late, hell no. I mean, I told somebody's gonna call in. I want to find out again. This is a stat that I'm gonna look up every game. Okay, how many missed tackles we had today? You know, and if I say we could keep it under double digits, oh, we're trending in the right direction. Because against Atlanta we had 10, against Kansas City we had 13, against Tampa Bay we had 15. Somebody find out now if we had only maybe 6 or 7. Well, we're trending in the right direction. We don't have as many missed tackles. But sometimes, they didn't, like to miss a tackle, we didn't have nobody there to miss a tackle. It's like parting the Red Sea. Some of these holes. I mean, do we have a front seven? Do we have a D-line? Why is it?
No touching, even Bo Nix.
No.
Didn't get hit.
Well, Bo Nix and... who in the hell is that cat for them, Russian? I don't know. I'm looking at their top three. Jay Williams, he had 6.3 average. Bo Nix, 7.5. McLaughlin, that sounds like a law firm. He is 8.8 yards.
Williams and McLaughlin.
Yeah, McLaughlin. I mean, I know it's a law. He's a lawyer or something. I don't know. He ran 8.8
yards. And also Estime.
Yeah, I mean, no, he's 5.8. No, he goes on and on. The average 6.4. But that's not surprising. We came into the game giving up 5.2 yards a carry. So what do you think the Chargers are going to do? And whether we get healthy? You know, I told you this, Steve. Do you know
we're going to get a heavy dose of the Gus Bus
coming into this weekend? Now, do you know the Chargers are the top 10 rushing attack in the NFL? And is Jim Harbaugh? You don't think they're going to run the ball? And even though they got Justin Herbert, and, he might be able to do things, but they are going to run the ball. until you could stop the run. No, it's embarrassing. And you know what's embarrassing, too? And it's, listen, I'm not picking on Dennis Allen. I'm just speaking what happened and what has occurred. Because they're two head coaches. Everybody's a man in the building. They get paid millions of dollars. Sean Payton and Dennis Allen. Bob, why you even compare them? No, I just want to say what they like in the Saints. Sean Payton, okay, what he was here, 16 years or whatever?
16 years, got suspended the 1 year, yeah, so 15 years coaching.
Okay, whatever.
But so, it was here 16, right?
Yeah, so he's still his team.
Exactly.
So Sean Payton in the Dome, his entire career in New Orleans, he had two games with 20-plus losses. Well, Bobby, that's bad. 20-plus losses in the Dome? The great Sean Payton? Well, Dennis Allen has had two 20-plus losses in the Dome the last 5 days.
Oof.
Not even 5 years or 15 years, 16 years, whatever. The last 5 days, Dennis Allen has had two 20-plus losses in the Dome the last 5 days. Now, okay, Bobby, it's not over. A lot of people, it ain't over till it's over. We're not even at the halfway point. But it doesn't matter how you lose. Okay, you look how we lost. How in the hell we lost that game? How we lost to the Eagles and how we lost to the Falcons. Oh, we're right there. Think about it, if you're able to finish. And that's part of Coach Allen's responsibility. How do you finish a game?
Especially the defense, right?
Okay, but after that, the last three games. You might say, oh, well, Bobby, I remember going. One fan told me, after the Chiefs game, oh, we could be undefeated. Hell no. The Chiefs were playing around with us. Now, after the Falcons and the Eagles game, yes. We could have been 4-0.
Right, fair right there.
If you're going to be objective,
yes.
And to be fair. But you look, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, Denver, no chance. No chance. We got outclassed, outplayed, and I'm not saying it's 100% that we don't have a chance to turn around. All I know is the Saints are now 2-5, and they dug themselves a hole that would be hard to climb out of. And I look at NFL and how hard it is in track records. Now, maybe Joe Burrow and the Bengals, even though their defense is sorry, Joe Burrow and the Bengals might be able to do it. But if you look at it, since 1990, there's been 163 teams to start a season 2-5. And only 10 of those went on to make the playoffs. Okay. 10 out of
163. Okay.
Now, if you look at the glass beyond half full, you say, oh, well, we going to be the 11th team to do it. I mean, if we were playing better, if we were in games and we were healthier, or maybe we were in games like we were against Atlanta and Philadelphia, but not the way we've lost the last three games. We look like the freaking junior varsity. Like I said, it seemed like a preseason game. It was not a good product out there, and it's just a shame. And look, I don't know where we're heading. I know when it rains, it pours. You look at the injuries, look at Paulson and Debo. Man, I feel bad for him. What he broke his femur bone in his leg.
Yeah.
Like when I see they bring out an air cast, there's a lot of times when you see oh, well, we don't know, Bobby, how do you know how hurt he is? All I know is you bring out an air cast on the field, something's broke because they're trying to limit your mobility with an air cast. I didn't know what was wrong, but I said, that ain't good. Paulson and Debo ain't playing no more. Did they bring it out an air cast? There ain't no way. But even Paulson and Debo, it just shows you, I don't know, some bad mojo or whatever, is that, I mean, even Dennis Allen said, he got a penalty called on him and said, that doesn't look like a penalty. And you can read Coach Allen's lips.
Lips, right.
But even Paulson and Debo, he's making a lot of plays, but getting too many damn penalties. He was tied for the third most penalties in the NFL before that injury occurred. But a good thing, and I don't agree with Sean Payton with this. Sean Payton says, Bo Nix is the next Drew Brees. He'll never be Drew Brees. You know why? Drew Brees in his life and even his afterlife, he ain't never missed four people wide open like they had. He had four wide open throws. It's like, what, are you playing back at Auburn? You reverting back to those days instead of the great things you accomplished with the Oregon Ducks? Like, you're playing for Auburn. But Bo Nix can run now, and I think he will progressively get better.
Right.
But he ain't no Drew Brees. Drew Brees has never been that inaccurate. So I just had to bring that up because I was like, listen, because I want to kind of look at Bo Nix. He can make plays with his feet. Look at the beginning. It seems like, oh, we always have trouble with running quarterbacks. Bo Nix is going to get off against us, and he did. When you look at it, he had 10 rushes, 75 yards, a long gain of 32, 7.5 average. So that doesn't surprise me because I know he can do that. Right. But I'm saying purely as a passer, no. He's like, okay, look at, he was like 16 of 26, 164 yards, quarterback rating of 79.5, but he really didn't have to do that. And I'm telling you, there was four passes at the beginning of the game. That's the difference between you getting touchdowns instead of settling for field goals. And we were holding for field goals, not because of the great Saints defense, because Bo Nix was missing them wide open. For freaking wide open.
And you talk about bad luck or gri-gri. What about Tyrann Mathieu had the easiest interception of his career and just burn?
That's probably the worst play he's ever made in his life. I think so, too. Because when he was younger, in LSU days, way back, he might intercept that and take it to the house. Not only an interception, but a pick six. No, he dropped an easy interception. I don't know. We had, a lot of people said, our team's too old. Well, our old players are old. So who's really contributing at the highest level? Cam Jordan. Okay, he's doing really good in the media, the podcast and all, but I like Cam. You know, I always take up for Cam. But Cam Jordan, he had three tackles. We didn't even get a sack. But he had three tackles. Look at DeMarro Davis.
Didn't get a QB hit either.
No quarterback hurry, no tackle for a loss. The only one is Anthony Orgy. He had a couple of tackles for a loss. Carl Grandis had one tackle for a loss. Right now, there's nothing special about our defense. No, we are last. We are last, and we've gone from the penthouse to the outhouse.
Too quickly.
I mean, I don't know. You can check this up, too. Check this out. Maybe DeMarro Davis. I don't think DeMarro Davis has led the team in tackles at all this season. Now, at least he was third. Last week, the five highest were DBs. Today, we only had a couple of DBs, Jordan Howland and Alante Taylor, but Honey Badge is old. Cam Jordan's old. DeMarro Davis is old. And they're playing old. You know, and again, I always say this, and listen, I played till I was 37 years old. And that's a real thing. You're not old in life, but you're old for football. And it could, and the snap your fingers, and it could change. It's amazing. I don't know the way God made us or whatever, how it happens. But you know what they're saying? Deuce and I talked about this. It's always better to get rid of a player a year too soon instead of a year too late. Now, the players are well compensated. They're well rewarded. But, you know, when you're paying them all these millions and all that, you're not paying them for what they already accomplished. You're paying them for what they could do in the future. Well, that production ain't there. So I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the season. All I know is, I said that didn't happen last game against Tampa Bay. We've had the best record against any NFL team, that being the Buccaneers, even though we got whacked by them last weekend. But I'm sure glad we don't play the Broncos more, and they're in the AFC West. We now played them only 13 times. This sounds like we almost like playing the 49ers in the NFC. We played them 13 times, have won three. So we 3-10, and we surely don't want to play them in New Orleans.
I was going to say, you can't even blame the Denver air.
No. In New Orleans, we 1-5. They go, Bobby, what do you know about that 1-5? All I know is in 1988, we waxed John Elway and all 42-0. The Dome Patrol, 42-0. And that's when the Broncos were going to the Super Bowl. So that's very discouraging how we have not shown up against Denver throughout football history. But, even when Will Lutz, why were we booing Will Lutz?
I thought that was funny, too. I was like, what did he do?
Will Lutz wanted to stay the Saints kicker. And then we cut him. We got rid of him. So what, he's not supposed to make kicks as a pro? You
got the younger, cheaper option.
So when I saw Will Lutz, I said, oh, he's going to make his kicks. I don't even know how much Will Lutz in the make. I know he made like a 43-yarder, a 32-yarder, a 52-yarder.
46, 32, 52, 38, Those are your four field goals.
Yeah, so he makes 4 for 4. And then I know when he made the 52. I never thought one time, oh, Lutz is feeling the pressure being back in the dome. He's going to miss. No, he wasn't. He was just fine. So it was just a frustrating loss and humiliating on prime time. And we used to play a lot on prime time with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. But right now, them days are over. You know what we're playing? We're playing a bunch of 12 noon games. We ain't even on no late Sunday. We get your Bloody Marys ready, and because even going next year, 2025 and all that, because where we at right now, you can plan your schedule. We could be doing a lot of 12 noon kickoffs. It's just where it's at. Now, they'll throw you a bone because they have to try and help you out, and us in Carolina, they'll give us one a Thursday night, maybe one Monday night or something. But, I think the next primetime game, I think we're playing when it's in the frozen tundra in December in Green Bay, at Green Bay. Oh, yeah, we're going to win that one. Oh, yeah, I'm real positive about that. Isn't that the next primetime in front
of
the
nation? That is correct, yeah.
Like the NFL wish they could flex that and flex it and put us back at 12 noon, I guarantee you, the way we're playing right now.
Well, you heard the Cajun Cannon here on the Ciroc Point After. Time for you to sound off. 504-260-1870. We'll be back with your calls right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Definitely appreciate all you Hoodats out there calling in to the Ciroc Point After. Going to get to all your calls here. You can chime in. You heard 504-260-1870. Black and gold falling hard in this one. 33-10 to the Denver Broncos Thursday night football. We're going to check in. First up, Hector in New Orleans. What you got for us this evening, Hector?
Very emotional and disappointing. Just hearing Dennis Allen's press conference, unfortunately, I don't think he has an answer as to why the defense is playing this bad. I mean, I know we have injuries just like other teams, but there's no level of execution at any level. Guys being left wide open, and I think...
And we're getting gash. Hector, we're getting gash. Or the run.
6 yards, correct. 13 yards,
yeah.
8 yards.
And then, like you said, the guys running scot-free, a good thing Bo Nix wasn't accurate. But the first quarter and then going into the second quarter, there was four plays that, yards after the catch. Listen, they could have had a couple of more touchdowns. I'm like saying, oh, thank God Bo Nix wasn't accurate.
But I think, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a statistic out there. Doesn't the Saints lead the NFL in yards allowed after the catch, which is kind of embarrassing, but I knew...
It's probably true. I don't know. I'm just guessing you're probably right on that.
Now, the thing that gets me, besides Tyrann Mathieu dropping that interception, I think what kind of said everything was... I think I forget what play this was. It was two plays on defense that just tells me there's just no communication at all. And I forget at what point of the game it was because I was so frustrated seeing everything else. But there was a play in which there was a wide receiver lined up in front of Marshawn Lattimore. And as soon as the play started, the wide receiver rushed past Marshawn Lattimore and Marshawn Lattimore just turned around and pointed to the other guy almost like, here, quick, you get him. And a guy gets wide open for a first down behind Kool-Aid for like a 20-something yard gain. And like there was like no communication there. And it just tells me that there's something amiss. I mean, I know Dennis Allen saying that he has to do a better job, but we've been hearing that for the past 5 weeks. And, Tyrann Mathieu, the young Tyrann Mathieu was great, but him getting run over by Bo Nix and get thrown back into the end zone, we're just not tough on defense anymore. We're not aggressive anymore, and we're not a good tackling team.
Well, you know what's amazing, Hector, to show you how quickly things can change in a National Football League? The freaking Falcons did score an offensive touchdown. And then Kirk Cousins throws over 500 yards against Tampa Bay. It's just weird. That's some weird stuff. That's weird crap right there. But when you look at, okay, how are you trending? Either you're getting better or are you getting worse? And to me, while I'm discouraged, I'm telling you, I was not discouraged. I was discouraged how we finished the game. I was not discouraged how we lost. And I said, man, we're right there with the Eagles and the Falcons. But I've been totally disheartened because we didn't look like we were in the same league. When I look at the Chiefs game, now they're the world champs. The Chiefs are messing around with us. But then I look, Tampa Bay and Denver. It's like, I don't know, we've lost our confidence. No, so listen, are you getting better or you're getting worse? So to me, you know, it's peaks and valleys on a roller coaster. That's what you don't want, because you know what's going to end up happening? Then at best, you're going to be a 500 team. At best. At best, I'm talking about 8-9, 9-8, at best. And you might, Bobby, what are you smoking? 9 wins? There's no way. I'm just saying Dennis Allen is going on, and you look at strength of schedule at the end and who you're playing, and we get guys healthy. Oh, we might win 4 or 5. But you got to look at the big picture. There's no reason, from a scheme standpoint and where we at right now, Hector and Steve and Charlie and all, and listeners, there's no way that we can all of a sudden be considered one of the better defenses, and how we playing, don't give up a touchdown against Atlanta, and then how we've played the last 3 games. I mean, something's not registering there. I mean, I don't know if this modern-day player, he kind of beats his own drum, and, you know, coaches might say one thing and goes in one ear, goes out the other, and then you get very individualized and worried about yourself instead of playing the whole team concept. You know, you could be a great player or a great athlete or whatever to play as a pro. But by yourself, yeah, you got to play tennis or golf if you're on that level. But a team sport like football, no matter how great you are, it's all with the team, the sum of the team. You know, and playing all like a glove, like it has to fit fine, like a fine glove. Not I'm doing my own thing. Oh, man, we ain't got no freaking chance. I'm chilling now. And I'm not calling out no names, but there's a couple of prima donnas on the team, I think, like that.
Saints go down 33-10 to the Denver Broncos Thursday Night Football, a fifth straight loss for this Saints squad. They'll be playing next Sunday at the L.A. Chargers. Hopefully can rebound then. We're here on the Ciroc Point After taking a break. We'll be back with more of your calls, so stay with us right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Saints lose 33-10 Thursday Night Football. Sean Payton's return to the Superdome with the Denver Broncos. Want to get to all your calls on our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and text line 504-260-1870. Going to get out to Steve out in Monterey, California. What you got for us this evening, Steve?
All right, guys, here's what I got. I don't know how they let Sean Payton out the door. I don't know why that happened.
To let Sean Payton out the door, Sean Payton, they want to come back. What are you talking about?
You got to figure out a way to keep him.
No, he don't want to come back. Okay, you can't figure it out if he don't want to be here.
Then you should have charged 4 first-rounders to take him. You don't let him go.
Let me tell you, Steve. Okay, listen. Who is his mentor? Bill Parcells. How many different teams did Bill Parcells coach? It's almost like a player. Before you wear out your welcome, you want to leave a year too soon to a year too late. You know, the last season, Sean was the head coach of the Saints. They lost 5 games in a row. So he said, I think it's time for me to move on and get a fresh start. What happened. Okay. So it's not like we fired Sean Payton and we didn't want him. No, wait. That's what happened. That's not like about Sean. That's what actually happened. Why he's not the Saint coach? Because he wanted to go. Look, just look at Parcells. Where'd he go? Giants, Dallas, the Patriots. He went everywhere. Sean might not stay in Denver before he retires. He might stay there, but he might not. So it's not like we fired Sean Payton and we didn't want him back. No, he had that much power and control that he could do what the hell he wanted to.
Okay, well, last thing here is I think Spencer Rattler is still the man. I thought he looked good. He doesn't get any help whatsoever. He was hitting receivers right in the hands. They're dropping him. I think he's just fine. I think he's the future. And he needs more support. I think Derek Carr doesn't support him. He supports Haener.
Spencer Rattler, he's behind the 8-ball. He's a rookie. The offensive line is all these backup guys. You have the top 2 receivers. Who knows? I mean, if you look at it, what he's 25 or 35. What did you think, Steve, of Spencer Rattler? I think he was fine. He was behind the 8-ball.
It's kind of tough with the guy, too. Obviously, your top 2 targets are out right now. You mentioned the offensive line has been abysmal. The run game, a little bit better this game.
Yeah. No, we averaged 4.6 yards a carry. You know, it was impressive. Finally, Kendre Miller.
Yes, nice
six,
to see him.
6 carries. He averaged 6 yards a carry. Now, Alvin Kamara only averaged 1.4. But I could tell you, how you play And that, Steve, now you listen to this. I'm not taking up a Haener. I'm not taking up a Spencer Rattler. But that touchdown pass, now if you look how that play developed and the Broncos are bringing the heat.
Yeah.
That throw that Haener made, like the quick and rational decisions, I don't know Spencer Rattler makes that.
You think he would have been more of taken off?
Yes, because Haener knows he can't take off like Spencer Rattler. Right. So you got to hang in there and make that quick decision to know where to go with the ball. Now, Steve, whether you like that or not, that's observing as a pro quarterback and seeing what's going on and watching in practice. Now, with that being said, if Derek Carr is ready to play against the Chargers with his oblique, Spencer Rattler ain't playing. I can tell you that right now that against the Chargers, I don't know how healthy Derek Carr is. If that's how you're going to miss one more game. But if Derek Carr is ready to play, he's playing against the Chargers. Spencer Rattler's not playing. And Spencer Rattler could still be the future of the Saints.
I was going to say.
And then not play against the Chargers.
Do you think there's a chance that maybe even if Carr isn't ready, they go with Jake Haener against the Chargers?
It depending on looking at how the Chargers, how they feel the Chargers, how aggressive their defense is. Well, with the blitzes and all that. No. How we're able to run the ball, play action. I would think where our offensive line is right now, you might do like in the major leagues. Like, look all the pitches like in the major league playoffs. Okay, get ready, Haener. You're in the bullpen. Come on, Spencer. Go make something happen. Oh, it ain't happening. Jake Haener, you go in there. That might happen. Because we just got to find a hope to win. But until we stop the run, you think we've beaten the Chargers on the road? You know what the Chargers-Broncos score was until the Broncos finally scored? The Chargers were whipping Denver like 23-0. Now, Denver fought back, but they lost that game. No, right now I'm not too optimistic us going on the road and beating the Chargers in L.A.
We're here on the Ciroc Point After. Want to hear from you, 504-260-1870. Saints falling 33-10 to the Denver Broncos Thursday night nightmare. We'll be back with more of the Ciroc Point After right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Ciroc Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, the Saints falling 33-10 to the Denver Broncos. Checking in with all your calls here, you can sound off 504-260-1870. We are next up on our line, Ralph in River Ridge. Welcome to the Point After. What you got for us tonight, Ralph?
I got two stats for you guys. Number one, Bobby, you're going to love this one. Saints rushed 227 yards. The second week in a row they gave up over 200 yards rushing. Be the first time, Bobby, since your era, 85-86 seasons, when they gave up 225-plus yards in consecutive games.
Well, and you know what, and Ralph, that's why they got rid of Bum Phillips and brought Jim Mora in 86. Because that was Bum's last year in 85. So, no, it's a production business. I don't know how we're going to challenge Mickey Loomis because he's in charge and says, results do matter, but it's not the bottom line whether you win or lose. Well, hell yeah, it's the bottom line. It's pro football. It's not PE class. Either you win or you lose. And if you don't win, I say this all the time, Ralph, and you know this, every year you're going to see the Jets coach already got fired, the head coach. 6, 7, 8 coaches will get fired every year. You know why? They didn't fire you because of a scandal or something. No, because you didn't win enough games. And you didn't maybe go to the postseason. So that's kind of like where the Saints are at. And we're getting gash. Right now, you don't think the Chargers are going to try and you don't think the Chargers are going to try and run the ball down our throat? Sean Payton, it's because it's a copycat lead when you look at it. The Broncos had 35 rushes. You know, I always say you want to run high 20s, low 30s, Ralph. What? I'm telling you, Jim Harbaugh, they're going to run the ball. Even though they have Justin Herbert, they're going to attempt to run the ball 35 to 40 times. Watch.
I would think more than that, Bobby. I'll go to say 50 times.
Well, I don't know. That's kind of extreme. But yeah, in this day and age, no. Because the Chargers have a top 10 rushing attack. So, no, until you stop the run and you can't stop the bleeding, they just going to run over you. And see how well you want to tackle.
When you have a quarterback running 75 yards, which, by the way, his long was the longest rush I'm sorry, it's the same stat. But when you have a quarterback running 75 yards and a 32-yard long run, something's wrong, Bobby. And then at the end of the game, I mean, Brian Brzee, I mean, he can't even tackle a ghost.
Brian Brzee, okay, look, we drafted him number one. Now, he can rush the passer. I got to give him that, but he can't play the freaking run. And you know who else wants to get paid and can't gets knocked off the ball? What about Chase Young? Chase Young ain't getting jack. Okay, he was all training camp. Maybe going against our offensive line, it was helping his confidence and getting sacked. But he has a sack and a half on the season. He ain't getting paid, having that kind of production. And you know what you could do against him? What teams are going to do? They're going to run at him. They're going to run at Brian Brzee. They're going to run at Chase Young. We soft as cotton. I'll tell you right now, just look at the holes. I know all the Houdat Nation, we tape the games. Sometimes you want to go back and look. Because you want to be objective.
Sure.
Just look at the holes that Denver running backs had at times. Now, you make a good cut, and you can help make your hole, but it's not like, you know what it reminds me of? Look how well we ran the ball against Carolina, especially against the Cowgirls, against Dallas.
Yeah.
How, when you see a running back going 3 or 4 yards, going downhill before contact, it's like, whoa. I'm not talking about tackles for a loss or getting hit in the line of scrimmage. No, it's like departing the Red Sea. It's like we have, like Moses is in front of the...
Holes
the,
we could run through.
Yeah, the opposing running back, Moses in front of just parting out defenders. And we just getting gash run right through. No, it's embarrassing. And that's what it's been as of late. No, it's been terrible. But, well, what if the Chiefs, I'm just thinking about this. What if the Chiefs would have had, like, Pacheco or something?
Forget about it.
No, I mean, there's no excuses. And are you going to be a pro? If you're on the team, and Coach Allen hopefully challenges him, are you going to be a pro? Are you going to take what it means to be a pro and keep your damn job? Because we're going to make changes. You know, I don't know if young players can handle that kind of, you know, they want to, everybody walk in love, kumbaya. But you need to look at that film and look in the mirror. And accept the challenge, because right now it's embarrassing the product those players are putting on the field as of late.
Well, I've been seeing on social media, Bobby, that Alvin Kamara agrees with you. He basically said he's never seen the Dome empty out so quickly like tonight. And guess what? He don't blame the fans. He said, I'd leave too.
Look, the Houdat Nation, the Superdome, see, the Superdome could be the best place to play. But it could be like, man, I ain't putting up with this crap. I'm not watching this. I mean, come on. You got to win, or you have to be at least entertaining in the game. You know, that's one thing with Drew Brees. Even though we were hovering with bad seasons,
7-9,
damn, we'd be in shootouts. We'd score. It'd be like, oh, we had a chance. The last couple of games, especially, even the Chiefs game, you can say, well, we played the world champs. But the last two games, we had no chance. And you're playing in the Dome. That ain't no freaking dome field advantage. Come on.
You're going to have a chance to sound off here on the Ciroc Point After with the Cajun Cannon. Chime in 504-260-1870. We are taking a break, but we'll be right back with more on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Fill up that cup. We need a strong one here on the Ciroc Point After this evening. Welcome back into things going on here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Saints going down 33-10 to the Denver Broncos on Thursday Night Football. Now time to get into what's bugging Bobby, and I can't imagine about today's game. Wow. It's brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. Cajun Cannon, what is bugging you?
Well, what's bugging me usually is something that's on the field of play.
We like, talked a lot about it.
Yeah, like, for instance, we can't stop the damn run. We can't be every game we play and we're giving up over 200 yards rushing.
Can't rush the quarterback either.
We can't sack the quarterback, all of that. You can break it down. All I know is if we keep giving up 200 yards a run, you don't think play action is going to work?
Man.
I mean, of course. And they have two rushing. They don't even need three downs. It's kind of like Canadian football. You have two downs, we can just run the ball. We have a first down. And we move the chains. You know what else? I'm going off a little tangent. You know, we can. Did we forget how to force a three and out? Do we ever have any three and outs anymore? Or like back-to-back three and outs? Or three and outs? But you know what's bugging me even more than that? Who in the hell in the dome? I don't know who this is. You got to have common sense. You got to have common sense. I don't know if the Saints are telling you to do this, but the score is 33-3. We score a touchdown. You don't play stand up and get crunk. That's not the time. That has to be old school, meaningful song that we doing something, a meaningful touchdown to take the lead, to win the game, to go to the postseason, whatever. But you score a touchdown, now it's 33-10. You're going to play stand up and get crunk?
Laughable.
What? Do you have no common sense? I mean, I don't know who's in charge of that. I don't know. I'm not calling out no individual. But in the future, if we're getting wax, that's not the time to play stand up and get crunk.
Maybe they're trying to like rub it into Sean's face because he's used to that song. I don't know. It seemed like poor timing.
Sean's so far ahead. What the hell? Sean's probably thinking, well, why in the hell are we playing that? Why the Saints are playing that song? Stand up and get crunk is not the time. The score is 33-10. That's not the time to get crunk. That's the time to be ticked off. Stand up and get crunk. Steve, what I was telling you, what was the song we should be playing then or something? Because you can still have the same spirit.
You could do like a second line music or some Marty, some kind of crumb. Yeah, exactly.
Something like that. Okay, we're just going to party, have a good time, whether we win or lose. But stand up and get crunk is something like we getting crunk, like we whooping you. And
one's getting crunk.
So that's what's bugging me. Please. Please in the future. It probably might have games like that in the dome. If we way behind and we finally, you're supposed to score in the NFL, and we finally score a touchdown and the game's way out of hand, don't play stand up and get crunk. That has to be a special song because it meant something in the past, helping Drew Brees and the Saints and all what we did to win Super Bowls and to get to that point and to be relevant on a national stage. But that's embarrassing all of a sudden, stand up and get crunk at that time.
We are taking a break, but first we're going to pause 10 seconds and let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. You can sound off with the Cajun Cannon, 504-260-1870. We're here till 1 a.m., folks. Want to hear from you, so we'll be right back with more on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network after this. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Giving a quick shout-out to Jake Haner and his touchdown pass late in the fourth quarter, because guess what? The day after the Saints score a touchdown, folks, you get a free large fries with any purchase in the McDonald's app. Cajun Cannon going back into our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. You can sound off to 504-260-1870. We got Ben in New Orleans wants to talk to us. What you got for us, Ben?
Okay, so I noticed in the dome when I was watching the game, there was, you know, Spencer Rattler was running from his life from the blitzes, and then in the third quarter, I believe, on a third and long, they had two linebackers line up on the outside, Spencer Rattler's left, and Spencer Rattler did not pick up on the blitz, not tell anybody anything. And those two dudes came out of nowhere and just, you know, instantly gave him the pressure and just got a sack.
Yeah, that was all scheme. I know Sean Payton and Vance Joseph, defensive coordinator, they were going to challenge Spencer Rattler to get rid of the football. The ball got to come out of your hand. Now, if you can ad-lib now and then and extend plays, but sometimes if they blitz it at the right angles, you got to just hang in there and make the throw. Because you can't block everyone. You know, when Jake Haner threw that touchdown, look how they were coming after him and how he just flicked it. Now, it could be, it's not a bomb because you don't have time. You might have to throw a quick slant. It could be a fade route. 1-2-3, the ball, whether you're in the shotgun, you're catching the ball and basically setting your feet and you firing. It ain't no, I'm going to look here, I'm going to look there. No, you look here, you look there, wham. I was sitting by you, and I said, okay, when Spencer Rattler got sacked, I can recall, I think he got sacked here, or maybe he fumbled. He fumbled. And you might say, oh, well, look, did I block it for him? No, you can't double clutch. Right. He went like this, and then he went, okay, when he went like clutching like this, no, that's when the ball got to come out of your hand. He went like this, and he went to throw it the next time. Whack! The rush is there. He had no chance. The ball has to come out. Now, hopefully you can grow as a player because you're playing in the NFL and how teams are going to try and attack you, and understand that sometimes you can't be Houdini. and get out the pocket. Now, Pat Mahomes sometimes could do that. I think Bo Nix has that ability even more than Spencer Rattler. But I would say Lamar Jackson. Jane Daniels, more like. But Lamar, to me, is the number one guy. But that's a small fraternity. You know, but even them, at times, if they want to be on time with the pass, the ball got to come out. And Jake Haener knows he can't do what Spencer Rattler run around and extend plays that way. So that's what's being smart with the football, know where you have to go with the football. So Spencer Rattler, hopefully, that he'll learn how they're going to try and stop him is that it has to be timing. You can't be double clutching, especially because you can't block. If they're doing the right stunt and they're bringing more than you could block, the ball got to come out of your hand, then you side adjust. And it could be like a quick out, a quick hitch, a quick slant, something 1-2-3, the ball's out. The ball's out. Not like I'm going to look here, I'm going to look there, because you're going to look here and you look there, wham, you get smacked. And then you might fumble. So I've noticed Spencer Rattler, sometimes he plays like he has more time than he really does in the pocket. And then what does a normal fan say? Oh, the offensive line sucks. They can't block. And I'm not saying the offensive line is doing an outstanding job. It's a bunch of backups. Well, not all of them. Look at our left tackle. We counted on him. He struggled. Look how they game plan to come off the edge with him and to put pressure on him. So it's just a cat-and-mouse game. You don't think the Chargers look at that film and see the success? And Spencer Rattler is the guy against the Chargers. You don't think, and this is what's crazy, copycat lead, that you're going to have Tampa Bay in that game, and you have the game against the Broncos. The Chargers people, Spencer Rattler's playing, the Chargers people are looking at, okay, boy, look, Tampa Bay got after him here. And then the Broncos got after him here. Well, why don't we use that same stunt to see if the Saints and how they respond to that and how the quarterback responds to that? I'm telling you, that until you can show that you could beat it, teams keep doing the same damn thing. And if you can't beat it, then you look dysfunctional. And it's like, I don't know, you throw an interception, you fumble, it's incomplete, we got a punt, whatever. You don't have no continuity, no consistency. So that hopefully Spencer Rattler can learn from that. But listen, unless I the older you get as a player, if you have skins on the wall, I wish teams would blitz all the time. Because you know why? Because I knew where the hell to go with the ball. Remember I told you the worst thing? Is when they rush four people and they got seven in coverage and it feels like a damn blitz.
Right.
That's what you don't want. But against us, Spencer Rattler, the Broncos were bringing the house because they knew they could disrupt and get them all out of whack, that being Rattler.
Taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. Stay tuned and we'll be right back with more on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After. Saints going down 33-10 Thursday Night Football to the Denver Broncos. Sean Payton Shore flying home happy this evening. Going back into our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. You can sound off as well, 504-260-1870. Josh in West Monroe, you are up next. What you got for us this evening, Josh?
Man, I just want to make a couple quick points because I like to hear what Bobby's take is on everything. But the one thing about the run, man, is when you have a couple of older players, the defense is on the field a lot. You know, I think they just kind of get tired or whatever and wore down. Another thing is if we do have to get rid of Dennis Allen, I get fired up watching Gruden Loves Football on YouTube. That's a guy we need to bring in there because I think he could maybe light a fire under some guys' ass. But
Tony, when you bring in John Gruden, you know, I heard, I don't know, I heard, you know, oh, the rumor mill. What about Bill Belichick? You know, his name's going to be out there. How do you feel about Bill, Coach Belichick? Do you think he wants too much power? Or you don't think Gruden would want the power? What do you think of that?
I just think the offensive mind and defensive Gruden has, Belichick seems like more of just a defensive coach, you know.
That's a good point.
Gruden just got that fire under him.
Yeah, and then he might bring some baggage, what occurred with emails. I mean, is that long enough? You know, is that what has that been? Basically a decade what happened when he's in the whole Washington emails.
Yeah. And that kind of sticks with you forever, though.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what sticks with you forever? If you win. and you know how you kind of sweep things under the run if you win? If you don't win, then that kind of comes to the forefront.
Right.
So, Tony, I don't know about John Gruden, but listen, 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year.
Belichick, like I'm worried about his drafting. It wasn't so great with the Patriots, and we've had our issues here, obviously. I don't know if he's going to help any.
Yeah, and listen, as much as I like Sean Payton and what he's accomplished, along with Coach Belichick, I think Coach Belichick is outstanding like Sean Payton, but is the trigger man. I think Tom Brady had a lot to do with that, and Drew Brees, the quarterback. Now, it's the coach and quarterback combination, a coach could point you in the right direction, but can that player execute it like Brady and Brees did?
Yeah, but then another thing is the Saints are cursed when the Super Bowl is in New Orleans. Last time it was they suspend Peyton for a whole year, and then now it's this year, and we look like this. So I think we're cursed when it's Super Bowl's in New Orleans.
Well, there's some bad mojo going around. I know that, Tony.
Josh, this is Josh.
Josh, okay, I'm looking at it. So yeah. Josh, I know you always also wanted to talk about Chase Young's effort, I thought he's going to be motivated rushing the passer.
We were impressed by this physical specimen.
But he gets knocked off the ball. He doesn't.
And I couldn't figure out how these teams let him go, being a first-round pick like that. I just couldn't figure it out. So I was real excited this year, but now I see why.
Yeah, that's a good point. The big eye in the sky don't lie. You look at the effort. Everyone looks at that film, and then they're going to keep running right at him. And listen, I'm not saying if this is my prediction because it's a mini buy, Josh, that what's going to occur for the Chargers game. Okay, Derek Carr, Steve, look at your schedule. Who do we play, Charlie? Who do we play after the Chargers? Let me see.
At the Panthers.
Okay, at the Panthers. Oh, yeah. Derek Carr is coming back for that game. this is what I think. Because there's oblique. His oblique will be like probably 100% by then. And then you can go on a maybe, how about we have a great month? Derek Carr comes back. But against the Chargers, I could see quarterback by committee, kind of like a bullpen, and it would be almost like, okay, Spencer Rattler, you the guy. Just go out there and get it done. Don't worry about making a mistake, but Jake Haener, get ready and whatever, because we just got to win or just figure out. Steve, look at because this is a tough stretch.
Yeah, how we're looking at things now at Chargers, at Panthers, home against the Falcons, home against the Browns, then the bye week.
Okay, look how sorry the Browns are. And I always said we got to split with the Falcons. So
better beat the Browns in the Dome. Oh, my Lord.
Yes, the Browns, and you got to beat Atlanta, and so you got Carolina. So I'm telling you, the strength of schedule is at the beginning. Tough. Remember I told you, I said, can we be 3-3? We end up being 2-4. And since how we lost to Tampa Bay, though, to me, when I looked at that, I'd say, in the beginning, I was saying, well, what does it take like to get to double-digit wins? Well, right now, I'm saying, what does it take to get to 8 wins? You know, and that's not even 500. I think we more, best-case scenario, we more on the 8-9 stretch, if not more than 5-12. I think we're going to win another game. It's not like, because some fans, they text us and all say, oh, we're not going to win another game. No, they're going to win another game.
We better get some Tums for the sponsor of the show then.
I just look at who we playing and everything, and it could be a dogfight and all that. We're going to get players back that are hurt. They're going to be healthy, and, it's always what you do as a pro on film. So, but right now, I would say the way we playing, we kind of hovering on, I would say, a 5-12 season, or maybe best case scenario 8-9, and I think most fans would say 8-9. That ain't even 500. I don't think that's good enough for Coach Allen to be our coach in the future. If we're 8-9 and you're not in the postseason again, what, for 4 straight seasons?
No, and I've said for me, obviously,
unacceptable.
The first year with Dennis Allen, 7 wins, then it went to 9, so there was an improvement. He can't take a step back.
No, listen, it's the NFL. It's not PE class again. It's right. The NFL. Either you're going forward or you're going backwards. Bottom line.
Taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. We're moving forward to the break right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. Venture Global is donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program this season. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. After tonight's game, current donations now stand at $16,600. Thank you, Venture Global. Looking at this matchup, Cajun Cannon, 33-10. Saints go down hard on Thursday Night Football to the Denver Broncos, led by Sean Payton, of course. And saw some of the comments coming off the field, you know, reminiscing with some of his old players. Basically gave him Cam Jordan a big bear hug, and told him get healthy, you know, for the team. And
Cam Jordan's healthy now. He's just old.
He's saying in general the team needs to get healthy.
Yeah. The team needs to get healthy, and that's what I'm saying. I'm telling you, we are, you know, when all of a sudden you're ready to jump off the bridge or jump out of the boat, I don't know if this is the right analogy, but the Saints tend to reel you back in. Because I'm telling you, they're going to have a stretch. I just look at the teams we're going to be playing, like the Giants, the Browns and all.
Let's hope we can go on a run here. At Chargers, at Panthers, Falcons and Browns and the bye. Can we do something before that bye week?
I always say that, you know, we finish off at Tampa. Look how well we played at Tampa. Then you look at Atlanta to split those games. I mean, good night, Irene, if we lose to Carolina. You know how I said that at the first game? Carolina, you got to sweep them. The bottom line, I don't care.
Got to watch out for the Red Rifle.
Yeah, watch out for the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton. right, because I wish little Bryce was playing for that to help us out. But, yeah, you look at that now. The Commanders, Washington Commanders.
A lot tougher than we thought.
Yes, it'd be. But, like, the Raiders, come on, the Raiders aren't. That's it, you know. So you just look at who we playing. But what is that going to do? Put you in the middle of the pack, like Charlie was saying. Then you're not top 10 picking in the draft. You're hovering around 13, 14, or whatever. So it's just the way it is. And, you know, Steve, you were telling me about, you just texted me this, and I think this is from Cat Terrell.
Cat Terrell, ESPN stat she put out.
Yeah. And this is like mind-boggling. This might be the worst stat of the night. And there are a lot of bad stats, she goes on to say. ESPN research said 157 of Denver's 225 rushing yards came before first contact, averaging 4.5 yards attempt. So you want to talk about a hole? You remember I talk about parting the Red Sea? And it's like, okay, if you're a legit NFL running back, boy, you got to feel good about yourself. That, look, I got 4.5 yards.
Just open.
It just opened before first contact, and that's 157 of the 225 yards. No, how Dennis Allen's going to fix that? Okay, so to me, before first contact, isn't that your D-line? Because yep. Your linebackers run sideline to sideline to flow. I'm telling you, that's D-tackles, D-ends, and all that. So who in the hell right now is coaching our D-line? I don't know if you could, they do that still in the NFL. I know Coach Peace would have got the old school Saints D line with Jim Wilkes, Frank Warren, and Jimmy Gez and all that. This is unacceptable. That ain't happening. You know, you got to stop it to where do we have a chance overall to get like, okay, stuffed, 0 yards or minus one? Not. Okay, we're going to get a hand on them after they already ran 4.5 yards down the field. No, just that, by the way, Cat Terrell sent, there's no way the Chargers are not running the ball at least 35 times. So Dennis Allen, the whole defensive staff, I know they're going to know that. They say, if we don't stop the run on the road in Los Angeles, we have no chance to beat the Chargers, even though they have one of the best young quarterbacks in Justin Herbert. No matter what they throw for.
Luckily, he's not a mobile guy.
But he can still, he's strong.
Yeah, for sure.
He's not as fluid as Josh Allen, but he's still strong. And but it doesn't matter what he really does. If we don't stop the run, he will have success against us.
We are taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. Get to all your calls here till 1 o'clock. We'll try and be quick and get to you soon. Lined up. Lines are all green right here, Cajun Cannon. We're going to take a break. Be right back with more on the Ciroc Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are back on the Ciroc Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. The black and gold falling to the Denver Broncos 33-10. Rough evening on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, no, we had a couple of texts and a caller says, why is Dennis Allen, you know, it's like a mini buy, and, you know, the press conference. So what, he's not doing that in person, Steve? What is that like?
Tomorrow it's going to be just a Zoom call.
Like a Zoom call. So my understanding, and some fans might not understand this, you know, the task at hand, he is the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, but he's going to Savannah. Why would he be going to Savannah? Savannah, Georgia? Yeah, I think his son, who's very talented, he's an actor, I want to say, or thespian, however you describe that. He's at the Savannah Art School, one of the most prestigious art schools in the country.
Okay.
And one of the best in the world. So he's probably in some freaking play or something. I don't know. And he's trying to support his son and be a good father. But if he's at Savannah Art School, he's over 18 years of age. So, hello. I mean, you're an adult, adult versus adult. I'll go see you in a damn play in the spring. And I got a task at hand. And, you know, I'll be more involved in your life. Whether fair or not, you know, you want to be a good parent. There is a football season and there's an off season. So you might be in a number of plays or productions come February, March, April. I can go to a lot of those. But as of right now, you know, the fan base, now if you're undefeated, it doesn't matter. So let's say the Saints, instead of being 2-5, they were 5-2 or 6-1. You go do what the hell you want. You know, you want to give the players a rest to get away from everything and all that. But it's just human nature that if you're not winning, then we got to work to get better. And it's nothing about leisure. You might say from a mental standpoint, I need leisure, I need to get away. A lot of fans don't understand that. But that's where Dennis Allen, Coach Allen's going. He's going to support his son. And I can understand that or not understand that. Again, the NFL's a production business. It's all about results. Are you winning or are you losing? And that's how I think, listen, Coach Allen ain't going nowhere. This is going to have to play itself out. The way the Saints run their business, that's just my opinion, because I think I've been around them long enough, that they have a lot of patience, and they're going to let this self play itself out, and then it is what it is. But they're not going to make like a Jets decision, like was it the owner for the Jets, Woody?
Woody Johnson.
Yeah, Woody Johnson. Yeah.
Can you remember the time when the Saints fired their coach midseason?
I'm sure some Saints fans can recall that.
Right.
Or a coach might just lose it. Like, I think I was in Atlanta then. Coach Mara just kind of quit or resigned because at the midway point, because, you know, I can't take this anymore. Or you might have that situation, like in 1985, I first came to the Saints and all, and we had myself, Dave Wilson, Richard Todd, the quarterback for the Jets and all, that bum passed the torch to his son, Wade Phillips. And then Wade Phillips took over the back end of the season. I think we had like five or six games left, somewhere around there. So it does happen. But I'm just talking about, okay, look who's in charge. I think with Mickey Loomis and the approach they would take there, that this is the 21st century over the, you know, the past two decades, that I look what happened, to say, with Haslett. I'm not even going to count Ditka, you know, what occurred there. But I would say kind of like with Haslett, and then look
Ditka
at it.
Made it through the entire year, didn't get canned halfway through?
I don't know. I was in Atlanta.
Okay,
still.
I got you.
I came here when Haslett was here. This is like pre-Katrina, right before Katrina. So I could say, but it's only been, so now Haslett, and it's been Sean Payton, and now Dennis Allen. So I think Mickey takes more of the approach, just let this play itself out. And then we're going to see what's going to happen, and it's going to be evaluated. But as far as like, okay, I've seen enough. Making changes now. I just don't think that's going to happen. That's my opinion. Some people might agree or disagree with that, but I just think that's going to happen based on what I've seen in the past. Now, Steve, what do you think? You think they're going to say, like, okay, Dennis Allen is kind of mini buy. This would be a time to make changes. Because of Andrews, I don't think Mickey's going to do that. That's not going to happen.
I don't feel the organization works that way either.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen. I don't think.
I totally agree with you. Look, you let it play out, run its course to the end of the year, and you'll see what happens then.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have to say no more because I agree with what you just said.
Like you said, from the time I've been around and seen how things operate here, it's just not what they do. They don't make that knee-jerk reaction.
No. And you know, I'm going to go back when we had Mickey on the coach's show. Now, Dennis Allen will probably come on the coach's show. I think he will because they have a mini-buy. I don't know. He might not or might not. Who knows?
Stay tuned. Right.
Stay tuned. But we had the silver slipper for the second guest. But Mickey came on, and, you know, and I kind of asked Mickey, and I'm going to repeat this. I mean, and I said, Mr. Loomis, or Mickey, do you have to look at the head coach? Simple question. And I was going by, we're not closing out games. They're so close, but so far, you got to close them out. The Chiefs always close it out with Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes. But I said, why are we not closing out games if you look how we lost to the Eagles? And the Falcons, how did we lose those games? So I said, we're not closing out games. We're highly competitive, but it's a bottom line business. Did you win or lose the game? That's the bottom line. You can win ugly, but you want to lose pretty? Or like, oh, we highly competitive. That's very entertaining, but you got to win. That's why I think fans are so frustrated, because you got to win. And I said, there's 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year. Because they don't win, and people want changes. They want to support a winner. That's just part of the business. Then Mickey went on to say, results do matter. Yes, they do matter, but, and this is a but, which I don't necessarily agree with, but one of the things that I do think good organizations do is you look beyond the results. No, good organizations always look at the results, I think. What's the reason for results, and how do you fix the reasons that keep you from winning? It's not always about the head coach. Well, other teams are dealing with injuries, so the head coach has failed to manage that. So there's no excuses because that's part of the game.
Right.
It's not always about the head coach, Mickey went on to say, but sometimes it is, but it's not always about that. Yeah, so I would say this performance against Sean Payton was another embarrassing performance, like against Todd Bowles and a division opponent in the Buccaneers. And he goes on to say it's about a lot of different variables and a lot of things are involved in winning and winning a particular game. But this is what I agree with Mickey and the approach that the Saints take. Not every NFL team, but the approach that I think Ms. Gale, and this how I think even Mr. Benson, because I think he trusts Mickey Loomis. He didn't necessarily trust Randy Mueller a couple of decades plus. But he trusts Mickey Loomis. And I think Mr. Benson, and he's passed that on to Ms. Gale, Dennis Schlauscher, Mickey Loomis, the whole Saints organization. We'll look at that, the results, and when the time comes. But the time is not right now. We have a lot of games left. We have a talented team, and we're going to see where it goes from here. Because of all the injuries? No, they can see where it goes from here. I'm telling you. I don't know how many games the Saints are going to win. They ain't getting the double digit based on what just occurred, what we've witnessed with these injuries, bad luck. But I would not be surprised if we bounce back and we're hovering around 500. But even if we are, 8-9 ain't good enough. It ain't good enough. Now, Mickey might think differently about that, but 8-9 ain't good enough because that'd be 4 consecutive seasons. You're not in the postseason. And again, with Coach Allen, I've always kind of promoted him. He's hovering around 500, a 500 coach. But if you 8-9, and then based on right now, you're 18-23, you're not a 500 coach.
You're saying, you know, you don't think we're getting a double-digit wins. We got 10 games left, Cajun Cannon, and just 2 victories right now. So, yeah, you got to win 8 of those 10 to get to 10 wins.
And I'm trying to be optimistic.
I hear you.
I'm trying to be optimistic. But I am realistic. I'm a realist. A realist. I'm a realist. Listen, I'm objective. I look where we're at. We can't freaking stop the run. We're getting gashed. Isn't our defense supposed to be our strength? Hello? What? I mean, I was just hoping our offense could be, I don't know, kind of maybe middle of the pack or maybe around 12 or something. But our defense, no, we dead last right now. When we had a top 10 defense, but we dead last. Now, we still get some takeaways. And, you know, even though that we finally lost the turnover margin, today we were minus one, but we're still plus two for the season. I don't know. You know how we could beat the Chargers? All of a sudden, oh, the ball bounced away. We got a scoop and score. Oh, we are plus two, and we upset the Chargers on the road in L.A.
We got to get somebody to lift that injury gree-gree and whatever else is surrounding this team right now.
Yes. Come on, we got a bunch of voodoo priests around here. Well, why don't they put some mojo,
we
positive
need some help,
mojo
please,
on this thing?
Right.
Say, or a Catholic, say a bunch of rosaries or something.
We are taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. Going to get into all your calls when we get back with more on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Man, I can't believe we're in week seven. I'm getting false starts on intros here. Sorry, folks. We're back here
on
this.
It's almost one in the morning.
We're back here on the Ciroc Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Network. The black and gold falling 33-10. Denver Broncos, Thursday night football. We're going to do our little toast of the game right now, Cajun Cannon. Our Ciroc toast to the Saints. Pour yourself a glass of Ciroc premium vodka and let's do a toast.
We got to toast somebody on the Saints?
Somebody.
Or it could be a former player. Don't
it
have
could
to be.
Be.
Okay,
and
yeah.
I think we know who.
Because I ain't toasting no damn player today. Now, because we gave him the diamond in the rough. The receiver. I mean,
Cedric Wilson.
Yeah. You look a veteran. He stood out. He had seven targets, six catches. He had the touchdown. Basically, a 10-yard average. He had ended up 57 yards. But as far as who we gonna toast? It's Drew Brees.
Drew Brees.
listen, thank God we had those years. I'll tell you. That's why I don't think in the future. I don't know what this team's gonna do. Even if they go on a losing streak, don't wear no damn paper bag. Let me tell you why.
Oh, they were in the dome today.
But no, don't. I mean, they're just trying to be cool. I want to get attention. Let me
sure,
put a
get
paper
on
bag.
TV. Get
a paper bag. No, those days are over. Those days were like when you were 1-15 with the great Archie Manning, who you love. They were 1-15. But once you win a Super Bowl, you do not wear a damn paper bag anymore. Now, you could boo. You could do whatever. You know, you don't need to wear that paper bag like the unknown comic. No, and you might say, well, the Saints are comical. But once you win a Super Bowl and it's in the 21st century, don't put a damn bag. You're just trying to draw attention to yourself. Just don't do it. Now, the reason why we need to acknowledge Drew Brees, and Steve, what are we calling this?
Our Ciroc toast to the Saints.
Yes, a Ciroc toast to the Saints. So I'll look at Drew Brees. He led the NFL in passing seven times. We would take Derek Carr or Spencer Rattler, whoever's the future quarterback. How about you do that one time? How about you lead the NFL in passing one time? Well, Drew Brees did it seven times. Now, this is the thing, and this to me is the most impressive, because that means you being available, and then you begin to be held accountable, is that you look at all the great quarterbacks. Now, Dan Marino was the first to do this, to throw for 5,000 yards, and then they could really hit the quarterback. But even after that, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, whoever you might think, 5,000 yards. This right here, he's the only player, that being Drew Brees, to have recorded more than two seasons with 5,000 or more yards passing, and Drew Brees did that five times. Okay, again. He's the only – nobody – think about that. He's the only player who's recorded more than two seasons, and he's done it five times, a pass-happy league. How, you know, turn the ball. Everybody's all around. Drew Brees did that five times. He led the NFL in completions, completion percentage, accuracy. That's why Bo Nix – Sean Payton might want Bo Nix. Bo Nix will never be Drew Brees. He's not accurate enough passer.
Drew's accuracy.
And Drew Brees led the NFL in completion percentage six times. Six times. Number one in the NFL. Led the NFL in passing touchdowns four times. His completion percentage right under 68%. I thought I was a stud, and I was like 62.9. I thought, man, I'm really clicking. Drew Brees right under 68% completion remains – the highest in NFL history for players with 10 or more years of experience. So that's why we acknowledge Drew Brees.
Cheers to Drew.
Cheers to Drew and cheers to those heydays that he put post-Katrina. at what he did. I'm telling you, we might all be dead. You might be all dead who's listening to this tonight, and you'll never see another Drew Brees in a Saints uniform. You might hope. Now, look at Joe Montana, Steve Young. You look at Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. You might have a few examples. But look, the Dolphins are still trying to replace Dan Marino. The Broncos are trying to replace John Elway. They had to go get a veteran like Peyton Manning. Okay, who are the Patriots hoping to replace Tom Brady? May? And then not the month.
Good luck to you,
not,
sir.
So not right. The month. Some what's his name? Marcus May or something?
Drake May.
Drake May or Marcus May?
Marcus May.
Yeah. Well, Drake May. Come on. You think he's going to...
It's almost 1 o'clock. I'll give you a pass,
Tom
too.
Tom Brady, come on. That's why I acknowledged Drew Brees.
We are taking a break here on the Ciroc Point. After when we get back, we will close things out right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Ciroc Point after, we're going to pause 10 seconds. First, though, let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Closing up shop here on the Ciroc Point after the Saints going down 33-10, losing a fifth straight game. Now 2-5 on the season. The Denver Broncos victorious in the Superdome. Cajun Cannon, final thoughts on this one as we now get an extended break, at least until the next game at the L.A. Chargers.
Well, I'm not going to have no expectations going into Los Angeles and playing the Chargers. I might have expectations we could stop the run. You might say, well, Bobby, don't you think offensive-minded like you are a lot of times? No. We got to be able to stop the run. Are they going to gash it down our throat? I'm telling you, no, I am really discouraged right now simply because what we did the last two games. It was an embarrassment. Now, it was a short span within 5 days, an embarrassment against Tampa Bay, and we got embarrassed by Sean Payton and the Broncos. So why am I going to be encouraged? I want to be encouraged. I want to look at the glass half full. Like I told you, I said this in the pregame. It seemed like a preseason game is the worst I've seen the Saints pre-Katrina. And hopefully that could change. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more come Monday night on the second guest. But I'm not too encouraged right now.
Well, all the callers that we didn't get to, you can call in tomorrow here at Deuce and Hoss. They'll be on Fans and the Pro, 4 to 6 p.m. Cajun Cannon, say goodnight to the great Houdettes out there.
All right. Bonne nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Or should I say good morning. Bonjour. So, all right. Houdette, go Saints.